We begin the current daf Masechet Bamitzia daf Ayin Hey. We begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Can you continue the theme of the previous Mishnah discussing the halachas? And this is the primary source for the halacha of sabisa, which is the rabbinic prohibition of avak ribis of lending someone exactly what you want to get back from him in regards to a product, in regards to an item. So the Mishnah explains, Lo yema adam l'chaver, a person is not allowed to tell his friend, Helveinu kor chitim, lend me a core of wheat or a certain measurement. I'll give you back the same amount when I have by the threshing, when I finish my pile of grain, when I'm going to do the reaping and get everything, I'll give you back what you lent me. A person is not allowed to say that, as we explained on previous daf. And the reason for that is because although you're giving back exactly what was given, but the price of the wheat, when you give money, you give back the same money, so it is what it is. But if you're giving back a product, it might go up in value, which what creates its status is not the item itself, but its monetary value. And if its monetary value will go up in the interim, you're getting back more than what was lent, then that could be like a loan on ribbis, rabbinically, albeit it wasn't through a ribbis ketzus, it wasn't prearranged that it should be, you should get back more, but that's rabbinic, that's avak ribbis, that's forbidden to do. Aval emele, but what he could tell him is, in the situation when he says, halveni at sheva b'ni, lend me this amount of wheat until my son comes, or when I'm going to find the key to my storehouse. That case is different, as we've mentioned in previous daf, because since that's called the case of Yeshloi, he just doesn't have access to right now, he's lost the key. So therefore, since the whole halach of sabasa is rabbinic, it's not biblical neshech, therefore when he has, there the rabbis weren't geizer to say, oh, wait a second, who cares if he has, but when he's going to get back, it might have gone up price. In the meantime, it doesn't make a difference. Then they say, since he has, we consider it as if it's by the other person, and there's no halacha of ribbis, even of the rabbana of avak ribbis. Now, but still, the hill, I assume in that situation, even if the son is coming, or he has he lost the key, so he has yeshli, still hill says it's forbidden, you still can't do even sabbasa in that case. So to Hill said another stringency in this halach of sabasa. He said that loytilva isha kikul chaverta, a woman is not allowed to lend a loaf of bread to a friend. Acha teser damim. She's saying, here, I'm going to give you a cup of sugar, a loaf of bread, and you give it back to me? No, you can't. That's sabasa. The price, the market value might have changed in the stock exchange. Something might have changed, and then the value comes back, and you gave ribis. Until you should tested them, that you make it into a monetary value. You say, okay, how much is this bottle of milk? It's $2.49. Okay, I'm borrowing $2.49 from you, I'll give you back $2.49. So that's not going to be ribbis. And the reason for that is because Shem Yukachitim, maybe the price of wheat will go up. Vinim Tsubaisli, the ribbis, and that will turn out that essentially these two housewives had just committed a rabbinic violation of sabasa of ribbis, because although she gave back exactly what she borrowed, but she lent her $2.49 and she gave back to her $2.59. And therefore that's ribbis on the loan. And therefore Hill says, even housewives, even just people borrowing from each other in the courtroom, you have to go ahead and evaluate in money and give back that value. Now Amrav Huna, he qualifies this halach of our Mishnah that said that if you have yeshlai, then you're permissible to do sa-ba-sa. So he says, yesh le-sa, if the borrower has a sa, which is a certain measurement, then love-a-sa. Then based on that measurement, you just don't have the key or the sun is coming, then love-a-sa, then you could borrow a sa to give back a sa. Sa-sayim, love-a-sa-sayim. If you have two sa, then you can borrow two sa. But if you only have one, you can't borrow two, because you have to have access for it to be considered that it's by the lender, that there's no problem about if it went up in price as if it was by you and then you're giving him more than what you borrowed. He disagrees. He says, no, Philly Yeshley saw, even if he only has one saw, love allow kamakur. He could borrow based on that one saw, many kur. Kur is 30 saw. You could borrow even many kur based on that one saw. Now, the reason for this is not because he doesn't require Yeshley. It's because regarding each and every saw, you could view it as if it correlates to that one saw that the borrower has. And the reason for that is because the saw that he has doesn't become actually acquired to the lender. The borrower, after he takes the loan of, let's say, a saw for a saw, he could go ahead now and eat that saw that he has or sell it. So it comes out that the borrower, every single saw that he has, you could break up, let's say there was Kama Kurin, let's say Kur is 30 saw, you could break it up and view each one as a separate loan of a saw for a saw, and each one is permitted for the chitin that he has to be allowing that loan. And then once he did the loan, he's allowed to go ahead and eat it, or he's allowed to go ahead and sell it. And then therefore you could use it for the next Sa'ah, and for the next Sa'ah, and for the next Sa'ah, and therefore it says Rabbi Yitzchok that you could even do from any Kor, because it's not that you have to have that amount correlating to that. Each one will be viewed as if that correlates to that one, and therefore each loan on every Sa'ah for those many Korim are done beheter, correlating to that. And once you did the loan, now you could go ahead and use it. And then you could use it for the next one, next one, next one. Therefore, you don't have to have the exact amount of what you're borrowing. Ten Reb Chiya l'siyur l'Reb Yitzchok, and Reb Chiya taught a braisa which supports this opinion of Reb Yitzchok, that he says, Tipis yayin ein loy, if a drop of wine he doesn't have, Tipis shemen ein loy, drop of oil he doesn't have, then he can't go ahead and do it. Now, the inference of what that sounds like is hayeshli, but if he has just a drop, then love Allah, kamatipim, then you go ahead and borrow as many drops of wine or of oil as you want to. It's just that you have to have something. If you have something, then it could correlate to that drops, and then you could do it for the next drops, and so on and so forth, as we explained the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok. Now, the Mishnah quoted Avihil Oyser. He says that even if the son is coming or he has the key, he has what's called yeshloi, and he says it's forbidden because ultimately you're going to be giving it back to him at a later point in time, and the price of wheat might have gone up in that time, and therefore it's going to be a rabbinic ribbis. Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel, he says, halacha k'tavihil, halacha fazik hil, that there's no heter of this yeshloi of if the son is coming or if you have the, you just don't have the key to be able to borrow sabasa. And says the Gemara, halacha is not like him, and halacha actually is like the opinion of the Tanakhama, that if the son is coming or that he just can't find the key, then he could borrow a sabasa, as we explained. Now the Mishnah then quoted another stringency, another stringency in this halacha of sabasa, that leitil ve'isha v'chula, that a woman can't even lend to her neighbor a bottle of milk or whatever the item is unless they evaluate it on money, because then there could be a problem about ribas. So Amar Yehuda Mishmul, he says zud debihil. That's just the opinion of Hill. Aba chacham aimim, they say, and they disagree. They say that no loivim, that women could borrow, let's say, loaves of bread stam without setting aside, assessing its value before you borrow the bottle of milk from your neighbor. Uparim stam, and you could also just pay back stam, meaning without saying anything. In other words, because the sages were not stringent to say that the isser of sabasa was so far that even for little household items that come and someone comes knock on the door and say, could we borrow this, could we borrow that, that you have to evaluate it and that it's going to be considered a problem about ribbis. Sabasa is rabbinic in its own format. The Rabbanan only made it with full-fledged types of business types of loans, but for just regular daily types of loans, that they didn't make the Isra Rabban of Sabasa. Another teaching from Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, B'nei Chabura, people of a group which they're traveling together or they're sitting in a house together, but each one's eating their own meal, but they're together. If they're Hamakpidin Zalzeh, if they're a particular one on the other, in other words, each one is not forgiving even an iota of what they have. This is mine, that's yours, you keep to yours, I'm going to keep to mine. And they're very particular when they lend each other something, to measure it, to weigh it, to count it. I want to make sure I get whatever's coming to me. So Ivrin, so on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, they will be violating when they're eating together in their communal meal, but each one's keeping their own thing, they can ultimately come to violate Mishum Midah, for measuring, which you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, or Mishum Mishkal, from weighing, Minyan, I'm from counting, because they can do all these things, because someone's going to say, oh, you have some gefilte fish, can I borrow some? Wait a second, let me measure it, let me count it, let me go ahead and see how much there is. So they can violate those Yisurim, which Tosafot explains what exactly are these Yisurim of Shabbos. U'mishum leivin u'payrin, and also, as the Mishnah teaches, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kof Mechesem and Aleph, a person is allowed to borrow on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but he's not allowed to use the terminology of lend me with the word halveni. And the Gemara there explains the reason for that is because if it's a loan through halva, you might come to write it down. So these people who they borrow and they pay back on Shabbos and Yom Tov, regular people could do that, but they can't because they're going to use the terminology of here I'm doing a halva, here I'm doing a perayin. And then they might come to write that down in their books to make sure everything is exactly as is, which obviously you're not allowed to write on Shabbos, so they're going to be violating these things, but Yom Tov on Yom Tov. Okay, divi hil af mishum ribis. And according to the opinion of Hill, that there's also going to be a violation of ribbis, because as we explained, Hill says that people are particularly, even housewives, just to borrow a bottle of milk, if it's a little bit more than what the other one was, if the price went up, even if it's the same amount, it's going to be ribbis. Here also these people where, says, wait, didn't I lend you last Shabbos two of my onion rings? And he's going to say, yes, I can pay it back, but then it went up in price already since last week. So according to the opinion of Hill, these people will be violating, again, since they're particular, it's almost like these business type of transactions, the halachic ribbis of the Rabbanan. Another teaching on this topic from V'amar B'Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, Tamid HaChamim mutarim lo v'zeh mezeh b'ribas. Talmudic scholars are permitted to borrow from each other with interest. My time, what's the reason? Why would Talmid HaChamim allowed to be over the Issa Dereisa of ribas? It's because made the Yadi the ribas Asur, because they know that lending on interest is forbidden. And what they're giving to each other is really, in their transaction, a gift. Because it's not really interest, it's really a gift. And that's only Talmid HaChamim, who they know truthfully, and therefore that's the assessment of what they're doing, is really gifting and not ribas. As the Gemara says, Amalei Shmuel Avu Ba'ihi, he says, Halveini Me'a Pilpolin, lend me 100 peppers, B'mei V'esim Pilpolin, to pay you back 120, V'aruch, and that was okay, because he was just giving him a gift, and it wasn't ribas on the loan. Another teaching from Amar Yehuda, this time Amar Rav, also on this topic, that Mutar Le'Odom La'Halviz Banavu B'nei Beis HaBeribas. A person is allowed to lend his children, his household, with interest. Say, oh yeah, you want to buy something, you want to borrow money, I'll lend you $100, you got to pay me back $120. So he says, why is he allowed to do that? It's because they allowed Timon Tam Ribas so that they should taste the taste of interest. In other words, they should know how much it bites and how painful it is for somebody to borrow an interest, and they'll understand how great the punishment is because they see how painful it is for the borrower to go through that, that not only do they have to pay back, they have to pay back now in debt, they have to pay back more than what they borrowed. But the Gemara says, V'lav milsi, but that's not true. Mishum da'asla misl, because actually it might cause them to get accustomed because they're going to desire to say, look what my father's doing. I'm borrowing $100, I'm giving him back $150. That's a great thing. Hey, he doesn't have to do anything, he's just sitting there and I got to pay him back all this money. So they might come to actually say, I'm going to do this to other people too. Because they might come to create that desire for it, and therefore one shouldn't do that with his family members to lend them an interest. Now the Gemara continues on next Mishnah, continuing on this topic of sa b'sa. So the Mishnah says, Oimer Adam Lachaver, a person is allowed to tell his friend, Nacheshimi, Nachesh is what Rashi says, Sharkler Balaz, which is basically weeding, tearing out the bad grasses from amongst the good ones. So a person could tell his friend, you weed for me today with me, I'll weed with you tomorrow. Or other imi, hoe with me, meaning dig with me, and I'll dig with you tomorrow. So a person's allowed to do that. But, and this is where we get to the halacha of sabasa, but he cannot tell me, nachesh imi, you weed for me, and I'll dig with you, or other imi, or you hoe for me today, and I will go ahead and I'll weed for you tomorrow. Now, the reason for that is because sometimes one of these jobs might be more difficult than the other. Now, moreover, since the other guy is going to be repaying the loan, so to speak, the favor that he did, that he worked for him today, which is he owes him a certain amount, that's like a loan, he's going to be paying him back to him tomorrow. And if the work that he's doing for him tomorrow is more difficult, that essentially is agar nater. You're paying him back more, because by doing him a harder job, from the fact that he waited for you to pay him back till tomorrow. So therefore, that would be a problem about ribbis, and therefore you're not allowed to do that. The same job, it's the same thing, so it's not agar, it's nothing more payment. If a different job, and he's doing for you today and doing for him tomorrow, that delay till tomorrow might be paying him back something more, and that's the avak ribbis of agar nater. Moreover, the Gemara continues on Amud Beis. The Mishnah tells us that Kol Yimei Garud Echad, the period of Garud, which it's the dry period when the earth is dry and there's no rain, that's considered one period, and therefore they weren't particular to be concerned that if we're going to, even the same job, but maybe one day is going to be longer or more harder, the elements, the weather, the climate might be harder than the other. Rather, you say it's permitted for one guy to say, look, you hoe for me today, and I'll hoe for you tomorrow, as long as it's the same period of Garud. So to call you may revia achas. All the days of the rainy period are the same, and therefore, again, one could do the same job when the other one's going to do the same job a day or a week later. It's the same thing because it's the same job and it's the same period. But lo yoyma lo charish imi bugard. One guy cannot say, "Hey, you plow for me in this dry period, v'ani achash imcha berevi, and I'll plow for you in the rainy period," because that is a problem about ribbis. Because although it's the same job, but in the rainy season, it's much harder to plow on the ground and to plow the fields, and therefore that's, again, paying him back more than what he gave you, and that would be a problem about agar nater of the avak ribbis. Now, Rabbi Gamliel Lemer, he says another halacha. He says, yesh ribbis mukdemis, there's earlier interest, v'yesh ribbis mukheris, and there's delayed interest. Okay, so how so? What does that mean? So, the Mishnah explains. Nasan ein of lulvisim, and if someone is placing his eyes, I mean, he's looking, he's desiring to borrow money from a certain guy. So what does he do? He wets the ground. So he sends him a gift beforehand, nothing. He says, oh, don't worry, so one day you'll lend me money. Zuhi ribis mukdemis. That is prior interest where there was no loan here, but that's still a problem because of ribis, because here it is that when he ultimately lend him the money, he gave him more than what he borrowed. Let's say love himenu vehichzalei esma'isav. Let's say someone borrowed from someone money and he already gave him back the money, the loan is over. Give him back exactly what he borrowed. But then he sends him a gift and he says, because of the money that we're doing nothing by me, you could have used the money and you lent it to me for all this time, and I couldn't give you back anything because ribis. Here, take this little token of appreciation. Says Gamaliel, zuhi ribis mucheres. That delayed interest. Were you giving him back something more than what he gave you? It is a problem. Reb Shimon, he says, yes, ribis devar. There is even interest with words. Lo yoimaloi. He cannot tell the guy who he borrowed money from, da, I just want you to know a tip. That guy came from that place. I knew you would be interested, so I told you. That is ribis. You're doing something for him more than what you normally would do because of the loan that he did for you. That is ribis divar. Concludes the Mishnah. Ve'ilu ayvim b'leisa say, and these individuals violate a negative prohibition related to the isra of ribis. They are hamalva v'haleva, the lender and the borrower, va'ara v'edim, and the guarantor and the witnesses. They say afasefer, even describe. Now, what are they aver on? Aver mishum, they violate leisitein, which is the isra that says in the pasuk es kaspach leisitein lebeneshach. You know, they give you money to the borrower with interest. Umishum al tikach miitay, the violation of not taking from him the interest. Umishum leisi lekanesha, that you shouldn't be for him like a creditor who's hounding him to get your money that you lent him. Umishum leisi simin lebeneshach, also they violate this isra of that you shouldn't place upon him the interest. This is just the placing on him the interest. The meaning making up those conditions. Umishum, and also from Valifna evil sitin mikshal, viresim lekecha ne Hashem. That in front of a blind person, you shouldn't place a stumbling block, and you should be afraid of your God, I am Hashem, which that is each one according to what, not they're not all violating all these Isurim, but each one according to what they violate, as the Gemara will explain. So, Tanya Linda Braisa, first the Gemara, regarding this, that we spoke about this topic of ribis devarim. So the Gemara brings in the Braisa that Reb Shimon ben Yochi says, "Minayin l'noisha bechaver mana? How do we know that someone who is collecting by his friend a mana, the ainer ragel hakdol meishalim, and the borrower doesn't usually say hello to the lender? Sha'asa lahakdol meishalim, and now that he took a loan, he's so indebted to the lender that he goes and says, 'Oh, shomaleichem ribid.' How do we know that it's forbidden to do that? Time alema, that's what the pasuk teaches. Neshach kol dava asher yishach." Which literally the word called dava means everything. A biting of everything which will be biting, meaning I'll lend on interest. But the word dava besides think could also mean deeper, words. Afila deeper, also even words are forbidden, as we said in the Mishnah, even giving him more verbally because of what normally is done, you're giving him back something more than what the money you borrowed, that is forbidden because of ribis. Now the Mishnah said, ve'elu oivrin, and these individuals violate the following isurim, the negative prohibitions. They are the malva, the leiva, and the yariv, and the edim. Now, Amar Abaye, he explains, regarding all those violations the Mishnah mentioned, he explains who violates what. So he says, malva oivrin bekulam. The lender violates all the isurim mentioned in the Mishnah, where, first of all, at the time of the loan, he gave it b'neshech. That's one of the isurim. You shouldn't give your money b'neshech. Moreover, at the time of collection, he takes the neshach, he collects that interest. He violates that too. He violates also the issa of leisil, and he shouldn't be like a creditor when he goes and he presses him and he hounds him to say, hey, give me the money that I lent you, you know, all that interest. Moreover, he, at the time of the conditions when they made up the contract, he placed upon him the liability of the neshach. And he finally violated the fifth one, which is he placed a stumbling block in front of the baru because he's causing the baru to violate the issa of leisashach lochicha, which is a violation of the baru of paying interest. He is causing him to stumble when by making up with him that he has to give it to him. He's violating that issa of lifnei iver. So the lender violates all of them. Leiva iver mishum, the following two, which are not mentioned in the Mishnah, because it's only talking about those that the lender could violate, are leisashach lochicha, you shouldn't pay your brother an interest. And similarly, ulechicha leitashach, and to your brother you shouldn't pay on interest. Those two are designated for the borrower. And he also violates lifnei iver leisitein mikshal, that in front of the blind you now place a stumbling block, where here he's causing the lender to be able lifnei iver by lending him the money on interest, by him being an accomplice by taking that loan on interest. Now, ha'ariv ha'edim, the guarantor, who guarantees if the borrower defaults that he's not going to pay, that he's going to pay it. And the Edom and the witnesses, in even elim shem leisa simnal of neshach, they only violate this isra of not to place on a loan that of interest, because they're accomplices for this crime. By being okay with those conditions, they're violating that isra of leisa simnal. Now, Tosafot points out that sometimes they would also violate the isra of lifnei evil leisa mikshel. For example, if let's say the lender was only willing to lend if there are witnesses in the guarantor, so then they're part of that, of they're causing him to stumble besides being the accomplice of violating Leisa Simon, they also violate Lifnei Iver. Now, but it's not as complete and precise as Leisa Simon, which is always, because sometimes Lifnei Iver they're not going to violate. For example, if let's say the lender would have lent it without them, just like we have by the halacha of when someone gives a cup of wine to a nazir who's not allowed to drink it, the only time it'll be over Lifnei Iver is if what's called the koi betri abed nahara. So let's say the Nazir is on the other side of the river, and the only way he could have gotten a cup of wine is through you passing it to him, so without you, he wouldn't have drank it. That's when, as the Gemara says, then you'll violate Lifnei Iver. But if he could have had it himself, and then you just give it to him, then you don't violate Lifnei Iver. That's the same thing over here. It's not always going to be Lifnei Iver. Therefore, it doesn't mention by the Arv and the Edom that they violate so too Lifnei Iver. Tanya Litna Brice, Shimon Emri says, Malvi Rib is those who lend on interest. More than what they gain, they lose, as we said earlier on the final Aleph, that they end up losing all their money. Not only that, says Rabbi Shimon, but actually, like you say, oh, you're the Chacham. They make Moshe Rabbeinu, euphemistically speaking, meaning as a smart man, because they make him chas shalom like he's not, and b'saras emes as if his Torah is true, meaning because of they say, these people say, oh, had Moshe Rabbeinu known, as if like the Torah doesn't know these things, and suddenly the people are the most intelligent people in the world, had he known that there is gain, he wouldn't have written this, and therefore they come and even deny regarding the validity of the Torah. Now, continuing on the topic of our Mishnah, which is said that one of the Surim of lending on ribbis is Lesi Lekanesha. So the Gemara says, Ki Asra Avdim Amor, when Avdim came to Babel, he said, Minayin Lenesha Bechaveri Manav. And where do we know that someone that's hounding, that's trying to collect a debt of a money from his friend? V'yidea She'ein Lo, and he knows that the borrower doesn't have it. She'asra La'avalafan, they not even pass in front of the borrower because of how he's going to feel. Tamalema, that's supposed to teach Lesi Lekanesha. You shouldn't be to him like a creditor. In other words, he shouldn't look at you like a creditor, meaning that he'll see you and he'll be embarrassed. He says, oh, I can't pay this guy back. You're not allowed to even pass in front of him to make him feel like you're a neisha. Now, moreover, Rabbi Rabasi, Damar Tavaya, they both say, Kilo donu b'shnei dinin. If someone tries to collect him, someone that he knows doesn't have to pay back, it's like as if he judged him with two punishments. So then, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Hirkafta enish l'rishenu, which we'd say to Hashem, which literal translation means to say that you have placed like writing on our heads, you have placed a man, but actually the terminology of l'rishenu could also mean a creditor. So it would mean like you have written a man as our creditor as a creditor, because the Aramaic translation of neisha is actually karashia. Like so, rashi is like the word rishenu. So it's talking about if you have made someone upon us a creditor, then it's banu ba'esha v'mayim. It's like we have come through fire and water, where you see that the person that has a creditor trying to collect from him feels like he's gone through two punishments of fire and water. Now, continuing on the theme of the Mishnah, which spoke about the being accomplice of the Edom, so I'm Rabbi Huda Merav, he says, Kol mi sheyesh le'mois, whoever has money, umava eisen shalei be'edim, and lends the money without witnesses, even mishum will live in the evil seed of mikshel. He violates the negative prohibition of not to place a stumbling block in front of the blind, which doesn't only mean literally, it means also putting someone in a situation where he's going to violate an isser. We're here by lending this guy money without any witnesses and no one else knows besides you and him, so you're going to put into his thought process to say, why not just deny it? No one, he has no proof. So therefore, you're causing him to be able to live in the evil by lending him without witnesses. Moreover, Rish Lakish says, Goyim Klol Atzmai, the one who lends money without witnesses, causes a curse to come upon himself when he comes to claim by that borrower, who then the borrower is going to deny the whole thing. Then people are going to curse him, and they're going to say, what are you saying things about this righteous person? You're saying he owes you $1,000? You have witnesses? You should be ashamed of yourself. You should be cursed. They're going to curse you for lending him without witnesses. Shneim, like it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, and this is the thing, a person should be smart, don't be so nice, get witnesses, put it down in writing, get a contract, So the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Talam nusif zeh sheker, that to mute the lips of falsehood, hadivris al tzaddik asik, that speak about a righteous person, meaning people are going to say, who are you? Shut up. What are you talking and speaking like that about a righteous person? That's what happens to a person who lends without witnesses. Now, the Gemara actually brings is such an incident to illustrate that Amr le the Rabban Rav Ashi, the rabbis said to Rav Ashi, Kamakayim Ravina komad Amr Rabbanan. Ravina, the great Talmud Chacham, fulfills everything that the rabbis say. So, Sholach Lei, so Rav Ashi wanted to check this out. So, Sholach Lei Bahadi Panya Demali Shabbos. So, he sent to Ravina, Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, he sent him the following message. L'shaduli mar asar zuzi. Let the master lend me 10 zuz. This strongly katina da'ar l'mizun, because I got an opportunity right now before Shabbos to buy a small piece of land, and I need some money. Please lend me 10 zuz. So Sholach Leis, Ravina sent back to Rav Ashi the message, Nesi Mar Sahadi, let the master bring witnesses, V'nichtav K'sav, and then we'll put it in writing, we'll make sure, no problem. So Sholach Leis, Rav Ashi sent back to Mafila, no Nami, even me too, what, you suspect me? What, I need witnesses to borrow from you 10 zuz? So Sholach Leis sent him Kolshkein Mar, all the more so the master, the Tard Begirtse, who is busy with his learning, and Mishle, and he's going to forget that I even lent him the money. Begarm Kol Atzmi, I'm going to cause a curse to myself, because I'm going to come and claim to you, because they say, shh, speaking about Rav Ashi like that he owes you, how can you talk about a righteous person? So he says, all the more so, we put it in writing, make sure no problems happen. Talmud Bavli learned the Braisa, the Gemara concludes this perek of Ezu Neshech, Shloisha Tzoyakin, there are three types of people that scream in the courts of humans, meaning in the regular courts. The Einan Enan, and they're not responded to, they're not answered to, because they caused the harm to themselves. So you could complain in court as much as you want, but they're not going to do anything for you. Ve'elohen, and these are the three categories. Mishishle mois umalvo eisen shle ve'eden, the first, what we just spoke about before, someone that lends money without witnesses, what do? You shot yourself in the foot. Why are you lending without witnesses? What are we supposed to do for you? Second is va'kayna odin la'atzmai, if someone acquires a lord over himself, and he did it to himself, which the Gemara will shortly explain what that is. And the third one is Umisha Ishli Mishal Aslav, and someone that has his wife rule and lord over him, the reason why she's doing it is you did it to yourself. Don't blame your wife. You brought it upon yourself, and no one's going to listen to you because you did it yourself. So the Gemara explains how Koyna Odin La'atzmei Mahi, what is this case of acquiring a lord for himself? So Igadami, those that say, it's Toyla Nechasa Benachri, it's Thomas, a guy that says that, oh, you think I'm a wealthy guy? That's not true. The money that I use and I buy, it's this non-Jewish guy, it's his money. And he's trying to avoid people to make believe he doesn't have money. Now, sometimes a non-Jew is going to hear, what's this I hear that Jew is saying that it's my money? He's going to get witnesses to testify that the Jew had said that. And he's going to take him to court, and he's going to take away his money. He's going to say, well, what am I doing? He says, what did you do that for? Why did you tell everyone you don't have money and you blamed it on the non-Jew? You did it to yourself. That's one pshat. Ikadami, there are those that say, it's hakeis and nechas lebana b'chayev. Someone writes away all his properties to his kids when he's still alive. And then his kids kick him out. And then he is homeless. So why'd you do that? Why'd you give all your stuff to your kids when you're still alive? You did it to yourself, and therefore we can't help you. Ikadami, the third pshat is, debishle b'ha masa, where someone has bad in one place in the city that he's in, v'lay osa l'masa chiti, doesn't go to another city. It's not good for you here, and you're complaining and kvetching. Go somewhere else. We can't help you. That's the case, the third interpretation of Koyna Odon La'atzmoy, Hanu Lach Ezu Neshech, which I will turn to you, the fifth parak of Masechtas Bamitziah, parak Ezu Neshech.